Our focus scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, verses 30 through 36. And this is where Jesus speaks of true freedom. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." God's word for God's people.
I don't know if you heard about the man and the wife from Sioux City, who, of course, here in Sioux City, everybody's very patriotic. Well, last July 4th, this husband and wife, they were blessed with the birth of their first children, a set of twin daughters. Yes, and the husband, being patriotic and born on the 4th of July, he said, "We will name them Liberty and Justice after the Pledge of Allegiance." To which the wife said, "Are you nuts? You can't have girls going around life with names like Liberty and Justice. We're going to name them regular names like Sally or Elizabeth." Well, the argument went on for weeks and a few weeks. And finally, they reached a compromise. Since they were twin girls, each of them would name one of the daughters. So the husband, being patriotic, named one of them Liberty. And the mom named the other one Elizabeth. So that was their names. And as Elizabeth and Liberty, well, Elizabeth, like my Elizabeth, shorten up Elizabeth, she became Beth to everybody. As Beth and Liberty grew up, they were identical twins. And they were so identical, not just in looks, but in their actions, just in every single way. The people could not tell them apart. Finally, when they were about 21 years of age, a young man took interest in them. He would take one out on a date and not be sure if it was Beth or if it was Liberty, but he didn't care. He enjoyed going out on a date with them. And the weeks went by and the months, and the young man decided he wanted to marry one of them. He didn't care which one. He just wanted to marry one of them. So he went to the girl's father, and he explained his quandary. He said, "Sir, I love your daughters, and I want to marry one of them, but I cannot tell them apart. So, sir, I will leave it up to you. Give me Liberty or give me Beth." Liberty. Liberty can be a girl's name, such as in our story. It can be the name of a vehicle made by Jeep. It can be the name of an elementary school. It is the name of an elementary school here in Sioux City. Or we can think of the ending of Patrick Henry's speech, to which he says, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Liberty. The word liberty, by definition, means freedom from slavery. So I invite you to open a Bible for our reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, where in verses 31 through 33, Jesus has told the Jews that the truth will give them liberty. In other words, the truth will give them freedom from slavery. As he says, "If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But we have a situation here in which Jesus is speaking to the Jews, And the Jews are coming back at Jesus with the next verse, verse 33. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Now, what's going on here is the Jews claim that they had never been slaves to anyone. Now, if you look at history, history shows that Jews were slaves in Babylon. They were slaves in Egypt. And as Jesus is speaking with them, they're slaves to the Romans. Yet a Jew would still say that if you're born a Jew, then you are not a slave. It was an intense national pride that they had. For Jews placed tremendous value on freedom. They got angry at Jesus when he mentioned that they were not free. How could he say that? We are Jewish. We are free just by being Jew. Now change this from Jewish to American. Americans say we have never been slaves to anyone. That's what we'll celebrate tomorrow on the 4th of July, Independence Day. We Americans place a tremendous value on freedom, that we are free, that you are free. It's an intense national pride that we have, and we get angry if anyone says otherwise. Sounds a lot like the Jews, doesn't it? How different are we then than who Jesus is speaking to than if he was speaking to us today? Not much. Not much difference at all. So then in verses 34 and 35, Jesus responds to them, and I say responds to us, when he says the issue of freedom runs far, far deeper than any political or biological ties. It does not matter, he's saying, what your nationality is. As he replies, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Jesus is saying that freedom is a gift from God, and that no one can claim to be free simply because you're born in a certain country or raised in a certain race. Freedom is a personal, inner, spiritual matter, and your identity as slave or free is determined by your sins. What sin or sins are you a slave to? Think about that. Yes, we live in a free country. We come and celebrate that today. But we are slaves to sin. Maybe you're slave to the sin of stealing or lust. Maybe a love of money or a sin of overworking. Maybe you have a sin of gambling or overeating. It's called gluttony, or overdrinking, or the list can go on and on. I can not give you an exhaustive list here, but each of us are sinners. We may live in a free country, but are we truly free? We as a people, are we truly free from everything, including sin? I would say no. So what can we do about it? Well, when you think about sins and wanting to rid them from our lives, we often think that if we focus on our sin, we can get rid of it. That if I focus on my sins and deal with them one at a time, then I can get rid of it because I'm focusing on it. So, as most all of you know, I have a sin of gluttony. I overeat. I resemble that remark. I've had it my whole life. It's how I deal with things. I've got many rationales. But it is a sin. So, as I've done so many times over the years, you focus on that sin. Focus on it. You focus on it. You focus on it. Yes, you're focusing on ridding, but you're focusing on it. So what happens when you do this? Yes, you focus on your sin, but that's also the problem. Your focus in life is on what? Sin. The focus of your life in all things all of a sudden becomes that sin. Your focus is on that, and it tunes out. That's not right. Instead of focusing your life on ridding sin, we need to focus on adding Jesus to more of our life. Think about that. If the question is, what would Jesus have Roger eat? Would Jesus have Roger eat here? Would Jesus have, as I often say, the old saying was, what would Jesus do? And I have some members of our church who gave us a mug that said, WWJRHD. What would Jesus have HRD? What would Jesus have Roger do? That's what you focus on. What would Jesus have you do? For adding Christ allows you to focus on following God's will for you and being who God created you to be. So now where's your focus? It's on God and where he is in your life. Instead of your focus is always on sin. Jesus even brings this up in verse 36. And he says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will experience true freedom by focusing not on the sin, but on Jesus. And if you look at it here, Jesus is repeating here the promise he made back in verse 32. But he does it with a twist. Jesus substitutes the word Son, S-O-N, for the word truth. Verse 32 once again. From verse 32. The truth will set you free. Now, Jesus ends with verse 36. The Son sets you free. Jesus is making the link between God's ultimate truths and his own identity. If you recognize the truth of who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, and you, as it says in verse 31, hold on to his teachings, then you will be truly free. There is a story told by James Cox. He writes, some time ago, I passed through Louisville, Georgia. Standing in the center of town is a slave block built in 1757. As I saw it, I thought of an incident associated with another slave block. It was in New Orleans, and an attractive young black girl, 17 or 18 years old, was being sold. She, like George Washington Carver, had been taken from her parents and was bitter over the whole experience. When she was turned over to the highest bidder and he came to take her, she said defiantly, well, what are you going to do with me? Much to her surprise, he said, give you your freedom. And saying this, he handed her the papers of emancipation. To be given your freedom. Imagine how she felt about that. You can't realize it. And it's the same in each one of our lives. What are you a slave to sin with? Wouldn't it feel wonderful to be given your freedom? To be truly free? God is saying to you that I gave you Jesus as your papers to give you your freedom, to set you truly free. For true freedom is not just doing what I want to do. True freedom isn't you doing just whatever you want to do. True freedom is following God through Jesus Christ so that you can be free from sin and be free to live the life God created you to live. It's a moment. Yes, I believe each of us yearns to be truly free. So what does God want you to do today? What does God want you to do this week in focusing on having Jesus be more a part of your life? Yes, we need to be made aware of our sins, but don't focus on the sin. Focus on what God would want you to be doing instead of that sin. Focus on where God would be leading you. What would Jesus have you do so that you can experience true freedom in your life? Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. You, O God, came to earth as Jesus to give us liberty, to give us freedom from our sins. And you have assured us that when we earnestly confess our sins, they are forgiven. So I invite you to silently pray for God to forgive your sin or sins so that you can truly start to be set free. Oftentimes, we end up sinning when we feel we are not in control of a situation that we are dealing with, and it's causing us problems. Yet, God is there to help you deal with any situation you are facing and help you deal with your sins and your life. So I invite you to lift up a silent prayer for yourself and pray for a situation you are dealing with and allow God the freedom to do His will in resolving that situation. We each know others who are slaves to sin in their lives. So I invite you to lift up one or two others who are dealing with something physical or emotional, dealing with mental health or spiritual care, to have God make His will known to them so that they may experience more true freedom. And Lord, in addition to those we've lifted up silently, we pray for all who are mourning the death of a loved one. We know You are there to help, to care. But also, thank You for blessing our lives with them. We pray for all that's going on within our country and within Your world. For You are there, whether it's individual events such as a chronic condition you have to deal with every day. But God has given you the ability, given you help to deal with that, to go into our country, to go to the world in the Ukrainian situation. Through all these things, we pray for Your will to be done. For when Your will is done, it helps us to truly free who You have created each of us to be. So as you reflect on the freedoms God has given you, freedom from sin allows you to realize all the wonderful blessings you have experienced as a part of your life. So I invite you to pray a silent prayer of thanks. Thanks for one or two blessings you're especially thankful for today. And Lord, to these list of blessings, we thank You for the blessings in being Americans, that we have been blessed to live in this country where we can come and worship whenever we want to without fearing others imprisoning us or killing us because of it. We are free to express our feelings, our beliefs. We are free in many ways, but we're still slaves to sin. And there's only one way in which we can truly be free. The only way we can experience true freedom in our lives is by having that freedom from sin. And that can only be realized by having Jesus Christ be a part of your life. So I invite you to pray for Christ's presence to be with you, maybe for the first time or once again, through a silent prayer. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.